Hello.
Hello.
All right, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's do this. Good evening and welcome once again to this week's edition of the Flex Fox Fantasy Weekly Podcast, the weekly show. I am, as always, your host, Garth Newton, coming to you live from my attic here in beautiful New Hamburg, Ontario. And I am joined once again with my prophetic co-host, Jeremiah the WizKid Johnson. How's it going, Jeremiah?
I'm okay. You sound sick. Are you sick?
I think it's a combination sick and actually legitimately blowing out my voice at the Blue Jays game last night.
Oh.
Explicitly cheering one Mr. Kiermaier on to get to first base in the what was that, the seventh inning or the eighth inning, I guess.
The eighth inning, yeah.
On that horrible little dribbler in front of the mound that he actually beat out. So, you know, I helped. That's the
Well,
takeaway.
yeah, I mean, that's good news. It's always worth your time to lose your voice at a Jays game.
Yeah, I guess. Have you been to the stadium this year?
Yeah, I went and saw the José Berríos start against the Rays.
Right. Do you have any thoughts or comments about the upgrades? Did you partake in the outfield district experience?
I did a bit, so I did like the I just checked out like the standing area, but like
Right.
it's kind of flawed, right? Like, so I was on the 200 level, I guess, or
Okay.
like, you know, like the standing area, it's not really like a bar or anything, it's just like railing. You could
It's just a
stand out with a
railing, yeah.
table. Yeah. I mean, if you want to go get food or something, you're gonna lose your spot, like basically instantly.
Right.
So you gotta like get food before the game starts, get there super early, and then just like never leave. Which I don't know how feasible that is for the average person. But yeah, I mean, overall, I think the upgrades are nice. I think they're a bit overblown in terms of how much they change the ballpark. I think it's still a very concrete and
Yep.
domey experience, in my opinion. And some paint and a little bit of standing room isn't going to change that, in my eyes.
Yeah, so we did something similar. We just sort of like walked by actually while we were leaving specifically. And it dawned on me that it appears that there's the DJ who is just knocking out the tunes for the whole game. And it struck me as so completely backwards to any experience I would want to partake in. Like, I have gone to a baseball game at a baseball stadium, whereupon I want to see two baseball teams play baseball against each other. Why are you distracting me from baseball? I have made my mind up. It's pretty clear why I'm here. I don't know.
I mean, that's fair. I mean, so I've never been to any other ballpark, but I was watching Giants Reds last night. No, Giants Phillies last night. And I was looking, it was in San Francisco, and I was like, what a ballpark. Like, imagine watching a game and then getting like some sea breeze or like some breeze off some water, you know, seeing like a real baseball structure, some brick. I think there's even seats like in the brick wall, I'm pretty sure, at Oracle Park. I mean, what an experience. Like, that's a real ballpark. Even PNC Park in Pittsburgh, which some of our league members have been to, real ballpark, right?
Sure.
Rogers Center isn't that. This seems like a band-aid over a stab wound to me.
Well, I mean, it is downtown Toronto, so anything is possible. You know, big cities have knife wounds. It's just the way it is. But we have healthcare to bandage it up. So we've got that going for us, which is nice. Yeah. The only other takeaway that I have is I was in some really good seats. My in-laws gifted the missus and I some very nice seats for Christmas this past year. That's why we were there. We were 29 rows back from the field, right behind home plate.
Oh, nice.
And like I'd been in the like I'd been on the ground level seats in the past, never behind the plate though. And it is a very unique experience. And as an example, like watching the I got to see J like Aaron Judge hit a bunch of home runs in batting practice, including one of the farthest balls I've ever in my life seen hit. It was ridiculous to see, like from that angle specifically, was incredible. Yeah.
No, I can totally see that. I'm more of an outfield guy, as we know. More of an outfield guy. I like to catch the batting practice. Lately, I've been sitting probably about 10 or 11 rows up from field level down like the first baseline. That's where I've been hanging out lately. Because the seats are decently priced. Home plate gets kind of expensive. So I find that's a good balance, but home plate would be great.
Yeah, like I said, it was my first time, and it was it's worth the price of admission. I'm not saying I would buy those tickets every time, knowing kind of what they do cost. So, you know, thank you, in-laws. But you know what? Like every now and again, yeah, good deal.
Least the in-laws were good for something.
There we go. There we go. Well, they even babysat the girls while we were gone, so it was the best of
Wow.
all the worlds there.
Total package, yeah.
Total package. And with that, we might as well jump right in because we're going to review our week six matchups here this week, Jeremiah. And if we want to just sort of build on the total package, we might as well start with the top scoring team of the week. And I do believe it's their second week in a row, but the Mad King puts up the top shop marks of 296.1, obliterating one Club Atletico deflects with a 191.3. Now, this is your number one versus number 18 seed. It kind of shook out the way we expected. But was there any other takeaways other than just the drubbing that this ended up being?
I mean, the boring answer is probably not. Yeah, probably not. I mean, Brian's really good. Flex is not very good. I don't know if you have like a more nuanced take on this, but I just don't. I just think this is the exact outcome we were looking for going in. Logan Webb and Logan Gilbert being the top point getters are what I would expect. Valdez and Acuña being good is also what I would expect. So throw in a Chris Bassett complete game for fun, and I guess you're hitting 300 points.
Yeah, and I mean this is definitely one of the higher scores that we've seen as well. Obviously didn't break the 300 mark, but came very, very close. And when I referenced the total package, it was just that. It was up and down the board, right? Like great pitching, great offense, and that's kind of what you need if you're going to put up this kind of a total. On the flip side, you know what? I wasn't disappointed in Flex's showing. There are teams that did significantly worse than he did this week. 191 won't beat a top team, but you know what? Like that's typically good to get maybe a win or two against some of the lower end or middling teams. And he did it on the back of some fairly strong pitching as well.
I mean, I guess I'm going to push back on this a little bit. Like, I look up and I see a matchup. I guess it was 182 to 179, which we'll talk about. But, like, I don't think 190 is beating 15 teams in this league on a
Not
weekly basis,
15,
right?
but five.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't hold my breath on that score every week, I guess.
Yeah, and that's fair. But once again, Flex's youth is starting to show up. So, you know, maybe a year, maybe 2 years away before we start talking about him as taking down top 10 teams every week.
Yeah, but we've been saying that for a while, I feel like. We've been saying he's a year or two away, a couple years now. So
In fairness, we've been saying he's a year or two away from being a year or two away. So
okay. All right. Okay.
we're getting closer. We'll give him something to hang his hat on. All right. Well, let's go ahead and move on then because we're going to now take a flip over to the number two squad, Graham. Holding his own against the Squirtle Squad, who ended up having a very disappointed showing. Graham's 226.4 to the Squirtle Squad's 185.3. That'd be one of those teams that Flex would have beat this week for what it's worth. But Graham improves to 5-1 while the squad slides to a kind of unbelievable 3-3-0. What are your thoughts on this one?
The top point getters, I think, are very interesting for both squads. So Christian Yelich, on the one hand, former Measure of Forest alumni, putting
Indeed.
up 39 points. And Tony Gonsolin, just coming off the injured list, I think about a week ago,
Yeah.
putting up almost 30 points himself. So I think, to me, those are kind of the standouts because those weren't the guys I would have penciled in at the beginning of the week to be the top point getters. So I think that's an important point. Another point I have is just I'm not really sure what's going on with the Squirtle squad. I mean, they're getting their starts. but they're just not putting up points in the usual fashion. And maybe part of that's injuries, right? We got like the Robbie Ray injury. I'm not able to load up their roster at the moment, but I think they have some other key pieces that are out. And I'm wondering how much of that is playing into their total and how much of it is just poor roster construction.
Yeah, I mean, so Jose Urquidy and Carlos Carrasco and Tyler Miley are sort of the rest of their injured sort of pitching staff. But Corey Seager's a pretty big hole as well. And we see all of them actually conduct a trade earlier this week to try and patch that hole with J.P. Crawford. But we'll leave that for later if there's any real need. But I don't know that it's strictly poor roster construction or if it's just the tricks that they've used in the past might not be as effective this year with the way the league itself is changing. We've talked about it from the start that we've got a lot more of a balanced sort of, you know, lineup overall. Like, sure, we've got Ryan up at the top and yeah, there's one or two teams that are definitely in the bottom, but there's a bigger clump in the middle than I think we've seen even this late in the season in years past.
Yeah, so I mean, I have a theory, and I think I put this theory out here before, but I do believe that the change in saves to saves plus holds has restricted relief pitching a lot. And so I think one of the areas the Squirtle Squad really excelled was always finding strong relief pitchers and cornering that market, right? Mm-hmm. That being said, this year, if you look at their pitching in this matchup, only 82.2 points, so not very many points. And their relief pitchers were not very good. Now, Lance Lynn's not very good either. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But their pitching has been a disappointment for sure. And I think they would admit themselves that their relief pitching has not been as strong as it has in years past.
Yeah, it'd be hard to argue for sure. On the other side of that, our winner here, Graham, puts up a reasonable score. Nothing spectacular, but more than enough to get the job done. 5-1 is a pretty big record. It felt like maybe he was losing his grip when he took that loss, but this looks strong.
Yeah, he heard us talking shit, and his team put it together. On the flip side, he did it with pitching.
Yeah.
So 127 points with pitching. Justin Steele, a big part of that. But it's just up and down the roster, right? Like Pablo Lopez had a decent week, but his relief pitching has been really strong, right? David Robertson, Gregory Soto, Adam Ottavino. If you got the good relievers, it's going to help you win a lot of matchups like this. And I think it's fair to say that his bullpen was the difference this week.
Yeah, it certainly seemed that way. And, we talked shit and he showed up. But we both picked the Squirtle Squad last week. and so it's a little bit of egg on our face as well.
Yeah, not our finest moment.
No, not at all. So we might as well advance to our third matchup of the week, which was actually one of the top competitive matchups in the end, as we have the current third place team taking out the current fourth place team. But this was not how they came into this matchup, as the Stubby Clap Clappers lose their first of the season with a 194.9 to 158.5 loss to the Midland Raccoons, who are now also 5-1 and have leapfrogged the Clap with this outing. Expected or unexpected in your books?
I don't know if the result could have really been unexpected because we had a 4-1 team and a 5-0 team going at it. So you really can't handicap that, right? This was a purse fight, wasn't it? Like, the point totals are just brutal, brutally bad. There was a lot of teams this week that would have beat them. And so I'm wondering if this is a one-off bad week for the Clap or if this is the start down towards 500. I'm not sure. I don't have an answer. Curious on your thoughts. But I think the Raccoons are got to be happy with the result. But they both need to be better.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, they certainly look like they'd be two of the weaker teams in the top five, just based on what this week looks like at the very least. And I mean, absolutely, fair to question whether or not this is the beginning of the inevitable slide to 500. Although this is the biggest winning streak that I've ever seen Garth MacInnis have. So that's, there's something to hang his hat on. And we've talked about in the past that if he's 500 from this point forward, he's probably the number seven or the number eight team just on record alone. The point total overall, though, is a bit soft, and not just this week. And we'll get into this a little bit later, but he's the number four team, but it's all record at this point. He is much, much, much lower than that. And that tends to catch up to quicker than not.
No, and I agree with you. I think points for and points against are very good indicators of what's been happening to you. So I know you provided me with the stats before the show, but he is not in the top half, if I remember correctly, in the league in points, which tells me he's winning a lot of low scoring matchups. It's unlikely to continue. The record's going to stabilize. I'd say he's closer to 500 than he is this 5-1 team.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if nothing else, it's a good win for the Raccoons. Again, a bit of a soft opponent, but they now too are 5-1. They're currently sitting in third spot. If you've got five wins through 6 weeks, you've got to be feeling happy about yourself. And it feels like the Raccoons have been something of the underdogs in many of the matchups. I myself picked against them as well this week. You didn't. So this was a victory for you, sir. So well done on that. Your prophetic nature coming through in this matchup at least. But do you think that the Raccoons are in the same league as the Clap, or do you see them as something a little bit stronger?
I think I see them as a little bit stronger, actually. I like their roster depth a lot more. Like, I'd say they both have strong players. You know, Bobby Witt, Matt Chapman, Jordan Montgomery, Blake Snell, you know, Luis Severino. So you can go back and forth on the rosters, but I like the peripheral pieces of this, of the Raccoons a bit more. And I think as long as the Red Sox are going well, you're going to have Verdugo and Yoshida continuing to perform well. And Kelnick has been a revelation. I just think there's more to that roster for the Raccoons than there is the Clap. And I think if I had to pick one of these teams to stick in the top half, I would pick the Raccoons.
Yeah, fair enough. And to be fair, despite my own choice or my own pick against that this past week, I would tend to agree with that assessment going forward. So it'll be interesting, but good for the Raccoons, you know, one of the newer teams in the league and putting together a solid season to start.
They'll like this comp. They'll like this comp, but they are the Sacramento Kings of this year.
I see. So are we looking at a comparable playoff drought for them? Is that because?
I think what I'm implying, I suppose, is that they were historically not great. They're having a great season that no one expected. They're up and coming. Probably going to lose in the first round, but they're up and coming and they're good.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Well, without further ado, let's advance to our fourth matchup of the week. We've got the number five team, the Director, currently sitting 4-2-0, having just beat the Size Matters team of Chow with a score of 263.2 to 220.5. Chow slides to 2-4-0. Aiden now up to 4-2-0. What's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm Chow, I'm a little bit upset, right? The matchup we just reviewed, neither team broke 200, and then you're sitting there with 220. You can't get the job done. So that's unfortunate. The Director, looking legit, has these kind of weeks. Seems like he bounces between, like, high 200s and barely 200. But when he's high 200s, he's rolling. For Chow, I mean, I don't think he'll be mad if I say this, but we've talked on Slack a little bit, and he said he's too chicken to rebuild. And I did have an article that should be coming out discussing five preseason favorites and how worried I am about their playoff potential. I think I called it like the worryometer. I mean, if someone's going to get out of this, someone's going to rebound, it's going to be Chow. I think personally Chow's one of the best, if not the best managers this league has ever seen. And so I think I'm still giving him the benefit of the doubt at this point. On turning it around.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, right now, looking at it from a similar lens, I mean, his point totals overall, like he's probably closer to a 3-3, possibly even a 4-2 team than he is a 2-4 team. So this current 12th overall does feel wrong on a number of different levels, and a lot of that is just because his team is performing better than 2-4-0. He's just had some bad luck with some of the matchups, like this week. On the other side, though, Aiden is just he keeps doing it. He's had a good showing overall on the whole. Sorry, he's a top five team as far as overall points are concerned. It's legit. We say it every year. He's a force to be reckoned with when it comes to the regular season. We'll have to see if he can hold it throughout. Great showing this week by Gallen. Also, very nice to see Arenado starting to turn it around. If Arenado actually starts to deliver, particularly anywhere close to what he did last year, Aiden's going to be a scary team for the next dozen or more weeks.
Arenado, I think, coming into tonight had homered four straight games. Could be wrong with that, but I think that's what it is.
Okay.
For Chow, I mean, I want to take one more moment here to criticize him. I mean, he didn't get seven starts. So I think that's another problem. He's got to clean that up. He should be getting seven, probably eight starts every week. It doesn't matter who it is. Throw it out there, see if something sticks. Julio being probably one of the biggest disappointments so far is another factor. So he's probably fortunate that he's only 2-4, and I think he could have been much worse. And I generally agree with your Aiden perspective. I think he's legit. I think he's going to be in the playoffs. I think he's going to make some noise when he gets there. I think he's going to do some good things. I really do. And if he can make an ad or two, he could probably challenge Ryan and get into that tier.
I mean, if that were to happen, that's kind of what everybody was calling for at the start of the year, particularly after what we saw last season. So we'll see. There's still some time left in this year. But there's no time like the present to reference our next matchup, which has the RKR Bash Brothers beating the Statlemont Stars 233 to 211.4. More than even just this win. This is an incredible slide by Stads. He used to be the number one overall team. His first loss came against another undefeated team at the point, and now he's 3-3 and sitting in 10th place. RKR up to 4-2 and sitting proudly in sixth. What are your thoughts on this?
I don't know if it's as simple as saying, as Otani and Vlad go, Ian goes, but that's kind of how it's been, right? Like they absolutely torched the first few weeks of the season, but Vlad has fallen off a bit. And Otani, while still amazing, has not been otherworldly like he was at the beginning of the year. So I think, that's a big part of it. The other thing is, again, I think Ian's lack of roster depth is coming back to bite him a little bit, right? So Vlad putting up 13 points, okay. Semien's pretty good. Conforto had a good week, but other than that, nothing special to write home about. From the Ohtani perspective, I mean, yeah, like it looks like he put up 13.5, although that could only be the pitching points. I'm not sure. Oh, yeah, okay, separated. So 24 points. 24 points. Well, that's good. That's fine. That's 37 points between Vlad and Ohtani, but he was getting like 60 or 70 at the beginning of the season. So we're talking like more than 50% difference. Yeah, I mean that to me that explains it all.
Yeah, that's fair. And on the other side, we've got RKR, who once again is picking upon his old division mates with another just beat down of a former redacted member. But if on his side, I think he's got to be happiest, independent of the win, just seeing Juan Soto putting up a legitimate point total this week.
Yeah, and I mean, like, where is RKR's team bad? Like, if you look it over, you look at the names on the list, he's got some stars, he's got a lot of guys that you're like, these guys are just solid. Like, Ty France is just fucking solid, right? Austin Riley is a stud. Rutschman, awesome. Morel's come up and been great. And his pitching's been awesome, right? Like, he is riding, since Eduardo Rodriguez, top three in ERA. Like,
Yeah, that's right.
Bailey Ober, been fantastic. Picks up JP France, turns to gold. Like, he is on a heater right now. And I don't think he can do any wrong. And I don't really see a lot of guys on his roster where I'm like, that's a hole. You
Oh,
know?
the hole is Javi Baez. Let's just be fair.
Well,
That's where the hole is, but it's almost unfair to call that out on him because he lost O'Neill Cruz, who would definitely have been in that shortstop position instead of Javi Baez in every other scenario. And I posit that if O'Neill Cruz had been healthy all year, we might be looking at RKR as a top three or four team instead of just having broken the top six.
I was just about to say that. So I 100% agree with you. I was going to say, imagine if you had Cruz. I agree. I think he'd be top four for sure.
All right. Well, I mean, maybe Cruz will come back quicker. No, I don't think that's actually
nope,
going to happen.
Nope.
No, but hey, there's still next year and Cruz is still hyper young. So looking good so far, RKR. Let's keep it up. And let's move on now to our next matchup where we had a bit of an upset, actually. We have the current 4-2 Mummy's Good Boys take out the current 4-2 fourth quarter Jimmy Butler with a kind of a middling 182.8 to 179.0 victory. So it ended up being close, but Tillo slides down to seventh with this as Chris comes up to ninth overall. Low scoring game. Obviously it's going to come down to moves that were made and weren't made. Did you take a look at this a little closely, Jeremiah?
Not as closely as I should have probably. This matchup's really fucking gross. Yeah, I mean, Chris didn't even get seven starts, which still won the matchup. I know you're referencing something. I'm not sure what it is. I'll be curious to hear what I'm missing. Yeah, I mean, Tillo's strategy is always predicated on pitching, right? So he puts up 114 points on pitching, and that's fine. That's probably, like, okay enough to get the job done. But he needs performance from his bats at a baseline level. And 64 points is not a baseline level. It's not going to get it done.
Yeah.
And that's how he's going to ride or die, right? The pitching's going to put up around 120, 140 points somewhere in there. And what do the bats give you? If it's 80 or 90 points, he's laughing. If it's less than that, he's going to have a problem.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of unfair, but I mean, functionally, it just came down to a couple of bad weeks. Tim Anderson, Wilmer Flores, both putting up just negative points. Josh Bell is the one that I was going to point out specifically. There's no part of me going to Cleveland that I figured that Josh Bell was going to be this inconsistent and this poor all year. And honestly, his half a point over the course of the week, I think that cost Tillo the matchup. Just him alone, which is not really fair because you're obviously going to play Josh Bell, but he's just been bad. He's averaging 1.1 points on the season as a first baseman. That's bad.
Well, yeah. I mean, Jose Miranda is on his roster and I guess he came back up. Like I thought he was sent down. Maybe I'm misremembering, but I think he's been up and down. No, he was optioned. So I don't know why he's still on the roster. That could have been a roster spot.
Yeah.
Where you pick up a hot hand play at first base and just bench Josh Bell. You don't drop him, you just bench him. Right. So that's a move that I'm wondering why he hasn't made. But I don't know if you can bet on Josh Bell. Like Tim Anderson is pretty trash. He had a pretty trash week. You know, if he swaps out either one of those guys, again, by dropping Miranda, running pitcher, he probably wins the matchup, right?
Well, I mean, if he just doesn't play Tim Anderson, he wins the matchup. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, like,
yeah.
And there's tons of guys every week. I don't care what anyone says
yep.
in the batting side of things that go on a heater. You look at their 7-day stats and they put up 15 or 20 points and you're like, yeah, I'll grab that guy. Like, no question. So it's just, I don't want to say it's laziness, but it's laziness.
I mean, neither of us got this pick right. We were both on Tillo for this, and I think with good reason. Chris is now also 4-2-0. He's now clawed his way up to the top. Do you see a future where currently in the ninth spot, he might get into the...
No, I don't think there's enough room for all these soft point total, high, like good record teams. Like it's going to catch up to some of them eventually. Regression will come for them. I think Chris is definitely one of those teams. I don't think this is going to keep happening, and it hasn't. We've seen it 1 year out of like four that Chris has been in the league, and most years he gets obliterated. So I think that's probably where we're headed.
Well, fair enough. Well, with that, let's advance to our next matchup. Talking about one of those soft point total, you know, in on good records, we've got a measure of force taking out the man, 221.0 to 159.4. My team climbs to 4-2, 4-2. My 0-2 start has now been functionally erased. However, Nick's 0-2 start has been built upon strongly to now be 0-6, and he is DFL, dead effing last at this point. Let's hear your thoughts on this matchup.
Well, like, why is Nick in the league? He got two starts. He's 0-6.
Yeah.
It doesn't really look like he gives a fuck or that he's trying.
Yeah.
So I'm not really sure what his purpose in the league is. He's not active on Slack. I haven't heard from him in months. And I get it. He's busy. And I believe what he said last season about having a life. And that's great. But step aside. Let's like be the assistant manager and let somebody else take over your team. So I don't get that. I don't understand that. If he wasn't in league management, when would he be getting this many chances? I don't know. From your side, I mean, you'll take a free W, right? Everybody needs a bye week once in a while. And who are you to question the scheduling gods for providing you with a bye week? I guess the question for you is this a 4-2 record legitimate? Is it something that you think you're going to build upon? I forget where you fall in the point total, and I know you'll tell us later, but do you think it's legitimate or a bit of smoke and mirrors?
So, I mean, right now, I'm eighth overall. My point total, it reflects that as well, actually. And I've been saying right from the get-go, I consider myself to be, you know, a low playoff kind of team. That's kind of where I hit my stride most every year. And it's in large part because of, you know, putting up point totals like this consistently, right? Like, if you look back over the years, I don't have too many point totals where it's like, oh, okay, yeah, he's pushing for the top overall. No, I'm typically putting up somewhere in the seventh or eighth best point total every week, which just by stats alone will get you more wins than not. With respect to Nick, however, I did some math on Sunday night, so it might not be fully accurate anymore just based on some of the changes, but by my count, he left 43 points on his bench from starting pitching alone this week. Now, 43 is not going to get him the win, but that puts him within 20, right? Within 20 points over the course of a week, any other move, any other sort of circumstance can make or break that kind of a matchup. So it was a little bit disappointing. You know, I generally do like to sort of compete against Nick and Nick's team, and particularly, you know, you kind of get up, he's the champ, you know, he's 0-5, sure, but it's still the champ. He won the whole damn thing last year. Nothing came.
Yeah, sorry Nick let you down.
I think he let us all down, Jeremiah.
Yeah, Nick, you hear that? He let us all down.
Speaking of letdowns, let's go on to the next matchup, which showcases currently the number 13th team against the current number 15th team. But the Star Boys lose to Ashes Moneyballers 253.1 to 158.3. Ben has been a very big disappointment this year. I'm sure he's going to stomp me this week, and we'll cover that in the later matchups. But he's now 2-4, and he was a favorite of both of ours to make the playoffs this year. This is a very telling one-sided victory for Ash.
Yeah, and I mean, Ryan switched my pick because he wanted me to root for Ash, so thank you for that. I would rather have been wrong, but that being said, you know what? Ash finally had a good week. This is what it looks like when it's going well. We know what it looks like when it's not going well. Conversely, for Ben, it's just flat out not going well. I wish I could point to like one specific thing, but this week the bats were just terrible. So 31 points, that's atrocious. That's not going to beat anybody, despite the fact he put up 126 points, which, if you really think about it, like we all think Tillo's pitching staff is amazing. Well, Ben outscored his pitching staff.
Yeah.
Bats are just so shitty that it didn't matter. And I don't know how you fix that. Like, you make some trades, sell low on a couple guys. I don't know. The thing is, the teams that have pitching have the hardest part done already, right? Because pitching is like in this environment is the hardest to get. So the bat should be a lot easier to fix in theory.
Well, I don't know if you read the news, but it sounds like Chisholm's down for 6 weeks with a turf toe as well. So that's not going to help this cause.
Yeah, and he had a good week, right? I think it was a top
Yeah.
scoring bat, so that's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, can you flip Jazz for a slight downgrade at second base that's currently active? Like, does he even want to? I don't know. I don't know if he even wants to. So he's got to decide a direction and then kind of go from there.
Yeah, and on the other side, we see Ash get a massive outing by John Gray and Alex Kirilloff coming back off the trash heap. This has been one of the better stories this year. I've been happy to see him doing a lot of what was forecast that he would do, but now he's easily just a post-type sleeper.
He's got like some chronic wrist thing, right? Like his wrist is like insanely fucked, I think. I don't know how like it'll work long term for him, but I heard something that like he had to shave his wrist bone. He had to like shave the bone off because it was
Okay.
like too big for the joint or something. I don't know. It was like something crazy. So I don't know how this works long term for him, but I'm pulling for him.
Well, that sounds distinctly horrible.
Yeah.
And given that, let's go ahead and move on to your matchup.
Okay.
Where we have a number 14 team facing off against a number 17 team. This was unlike the some of the other matchups where it's been, like Chris and Tillo, which was both under 190. This was actually a battle of heavyweights, but it was like watching two toddlers swing because neither of you should be putting up these kind of point totals, but just haymakers back and forth. But Jamil comes out on top, 259.1 to your 245.0. Jamil climbs to the lofty peaks of 2 and 4 while you plummet to 1 and 5. You know what? It's an unfortunate matchup, but you still got to take the L on this one, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was looking at it and I think I had like the fourth highest point total of the week. So I would have beat pretty much everyone other than Ryan and Aiden this week, looking at it, which is unfortunate. I think I said last week I called it. I was like, I dropped some massive point total on my head. And it wasn't massive, but it was pretty big. So yeah, I mean, from my perspective, whatever. But from his perspective, this is exactly what he needs, right?
Yeah, and I mean, point totals like this are gonna help him at least climb it, over that glut in the middle here. Sort of the teams from like roughly 8th to about 14th or 15th, they're fairly well, they're pretty close. And if you can start putting up point totals like this, where you're beating a lot of those other teams by 30, 40, sometimes even 50 points on their weekly totals, you're gonna start leapfrogging guys pretty quickly. You yourself are in an interesting situation because while we were talking about, as an example, Garth MacInnis's Stubby Clap Clappers as being, it's all record. The point totals aren't there. You have the point totals. Your record is shit.
Yeah, I know you didn't tally the points against, but I think I'm third in points against, meaning like
Okay.
I've lost a lot of matchups where people have dropped a lot of points on me. Interestingly, the two teams ahead of me, Ash, I believe, but really interesting is actually Ben. So I think Ben is partially a product of the points being dropped on him. Now his point total I think is lower, so he just hasn't really been in the matchups, but in my case, I mean, yeah, like things should stabilize a little bit. I probably should be like 2 and 4 or 3 and 3. But it doesn't matter what you should have been. It matters what you are. And the other thing, I guess, is I've been kind of rotating streaming bats. It's kind of what I've been doing in pitchers. I kind of just like rotate through. So it just goes to show you, if you pick up the hot hand, it can be an effective play any week.
There you go. Well, talking about rotating bats, we've got the Illuminati against Penis this week.
Okay.
And while often we save the best for last, that is not what happened here. This was a matchup of just a wonderful, I guess it would have been a 2-3 team going up against an 0-5 team. And somehow Mike pulls out a victory this week with a 158.2 to an unbelievably pedestrian 88.5. I think this is our first sub 100 point total of the season. Lim falls to 2-4 and 16th overall, and Mike uses his glorious one win to climb over Nick the Man Penner. Is there anything worth talking about in this matchup?
No. I mean, Mike getting his first win, that's good. I think the question, I guess the one thing worth talking about is, will Lim be in the Vaze or Europa, right? Because he's, what is he, 2-4? Is that what he is now?
He's 2-4, yeah.
Yeah.
16th.
So I mean, where is he going to go, right? Is he going to be at the top of the Vaze or the bottom of Europa? That is the question to ask. And I do kind of think he still climbs into the bottom of Europa, but we'll have to see.
Yeah, fair. Right now, my answer would be the opposite. I think he is solidly a Vaze team at this point.
Okay.
And you can call it recency bias, but it turns out if you put up 88 points, there's a lot of reason to be biased against it.
Yeah, that's very fair.
All right. Well, those were the week six matchups. Some good, some bad, but what was also good was that Jeremiah, in the pick total this week, you actually managed to pull out seven correct picks. Your prophetic name and nature coming through for you. Whereas my name actually means earth or garden, it turns out. And I'm feeling a little wet because my point total was just mud, as I only managed to put up four this week. So you put up a beat down on me, getting 7-4, which has actually extended your overall lead to now four overall picks. Drop the trash on me. Let's hear it.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't thought about wraps in a while, so that's a good feeling.
Okay. Okay.
I do wonder what your voice will be like spitting some bars, and that is becoming
Right.
closer to reality every week so far. So I'm excited
Okay.
about that. Very excited about that.
Well, I'll be honest, after seeing how some of these matchups were going in on Saturday and Sunday while I was cutting the lawn, I have figured out my background track. I know what I'm going to be
Wow. Okay.
working in front of, and have even started to craft in my head at the very least. I hasn't put pen to paper, but crafting in the head some of the approaches, some of the lines, some of the rhymes that we're going to be using here. So,
Okay.
yeah.
Well, just don't hurt yourself next time you're looking at the scoreboard and cut your lawn.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's a hell of a story to tell the kids in the old age home of how I lost my left foot. But
Yeah.
yeah.
War Amps sponsor Gartman.
Yeah, you don't want me on their commercials. Let's put it that way.
No, but
All
do you ever
right.
remember? Okay, hold on. Before we move on, I'm gonna
Yeah.
interrupt you for a stupid point. But remember, like in the 90s or like when I was a kid, the War Amps was like, I don't know, I'm Timmy and I got run over by a lawnmower. And you're like, what the fuck? Like why? And what were your parents doing? And now it's just like completely different. They like moved away from that. I saw a War Amps commercial the other day, and it was like a genetic defect or something. And I'm like, why was that never the go-to? Like,
Interesting.
you
Yeah,
know?
and I get it. I'm like half a generation older than you or more. I think you're actually physically young enough to be my kid, which is a scary thought. But the War Amps commercial that I remember growing up, and this is worth going and finding on YouTube or elsewhere, but go look up Astar the robot. He
Okay.
basically he comes from Planet Danger in the reboot. He wasn't in Planet Danger when I grew up, but you know, he's Astar the robot, and he can put his arm back on and you can't. So play safe. And it was just a terrifying concept when you're like 8 years old and trying to watch G.I. Joe. It's like, what the shit, guys? Like, what are you? Oh, okay, I promise I won't start doing cartwheels and backflips through a world of whirling saw blades. Okay, can we move on? Thank you, Astar. Oh. Get off my screen. Who names him Astar? Like, I do not want to think of my precious rosebud in my butthole, all right? Like, come on. Come on.
The 80s were a different time. I got a lot of questions.
I do not have the answers you're looking for. I'm going to put that out there right now.
All right.
All right. Next up, we typically talk about trades, but there really wasn't any. We actually mentioned it over the course of the week six matchup results. Anything you want to add to the Squirtle Squad trade this week?
No, I mean, JP Crawford's not very good. I don't really get why they make these moves because they don't really seem that productive or impactful. But hey, who am I?
I'm guessing it's not Jean Valjean. You're no. Probably not going to bust out 24601 next. So,
nope.
Okay. All right. Well, that was trade talk. Thanks for joining in. The next thing I wanted to talk about was, and again, I was sort of piecing this together a little bit, and I probably could have written an article, but I have this platform and my voice will carry. But I was curious about how some of the scoring trends in the league are sort of correlating into the positions. And we talked about it a little bit in the matchup results earlier. But we do have some teams that have some soft point totals with good records. And conversely, we have teams with good point totals and bad records. And I sort of wanted to sort of see if there was a way to line it up and get an idea of how it is. And so I broke out just a very quick and easy tier system. And I've sent this to Jeremiah, so I apologize. I'm sure this is great radio as we're going to talk about this, and nobody sees any of it. But functionally speaking, it slided into seven tiers pretty easily. And the top of that tier should surprise absolutely no one. Ryan Neeson stands alone as the only team that has already accumulated more than 1,900 points this year. And to be clear, that puts him 200 points above anyone easy. Pretty easy to say he's the top team this year. No debate.
Yeah, I don't think so. I know he's interested in trying to break Flex's point record.
Right.
I guess he wants to take Flex's like last shred of dignity.
Mm.
But I think in the current environment, like Flex set that record when 300 and something points was the norm for good teams. Yeah. And we just aren't in that environment anymore. So I think his points record is probably safe.
Well, he might be able to put something towards the largest margin of victory over the course of a season if he keeps going like this. Because, as I said, there's no one within even 200 points of him at this point, which gets us down to tier two. And tier two is basically all of the teams that have between 1,600 and 1,700 points. And there were more of these teams than I was expecting. We got Stads, Graham, Aiden, the Raccoons, and RKR. All up in this tier. There's some names that make sense. There's some names that I found a little bit surprising. What were your thoughts on that?
I mean, that's basically every breakout team this year that was unexpected. I mean, maybe you expected some of them, but I'm just saying generally these are the risers of the year. These are the guys that come into the year, you were like, where are they? Where do they go? Are they fringe playoff? Are they Europa? Well, they're elite. So that's kind of actually interesting how they're all grouped together there. It shows that a lot of their performance is legitimate.
Yeah, it also sort of showcases the idea that just beating another team by 25, 30 points can have a sizable impact on how the standings will shake out. Like, this is an incredible clump of teams, and all of these teams are also in that, you know, 4-3, 4-2, 5-1 area where, like, yeah, the records are going to matter, but there's going to be some tiebreakers, and these points are going to matter as well. So I found that interesting personally. Yeah.
No, it is 100%.
But the tier that I found the most interesting is actually tier three, which is humorously enough, all of the teams that have basically points totals in the 1500s. And there's only two teams, and that is you, Jeremiah, and Tilo, who we've in fact talked about today, both being kind of a little bit unlucky with respect to how some of the matchups have shaken out, but that better things should be expected going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say that like our records could be switched, but we could definitely have closer to the same record.
Mm-hmm.
And it just so happens we're facing off this week. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. Because if you kind of like law of average it out, it's probably, we're both probably around 3-3 or 4-2. So that is really curious because we're basically what, polar opposite records? Is he 4-2 or is he 5-1?
He's 4-2 right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're like almost polar opposites in terms of records. So that is really interesting. I've been getting screwed and he's been getting the good end of the stick.
The other interesting aspect that happens at this tier break, tier one, tier two, and tier three, those are your top eight teams right now, as far as the point totals are concerned. So you could very easily say these are your playoff teams. And so, Jeremiah, if this was the playoffs, do you feel this would be a good set? Or do you think this is just Ryan Neeson walking all over anyone?
I think it's a good set. So Ryan does this all the time where he just like crushes people in the regular season. But in the playoffs, Ryan has a history of underperformance, poor entry luck, some combination of acts of God. Because remember last year, like he almost went undefeated, right? The whole year. Yep. I think he got to like the last week of the season. Nobody was going to bet against him. And he got beaten by the eighth seed in Nick. Mm-hmm. So like, okay, I want to see him do it in the playoffs before I proclaim anything about him rolling over anyone. I think especially teams like Graham, teams like Aiden, if Ryan draws one of them some way somehow in round one or round two, he's gonna have his hands full, and I'm not 100% sure I would even take Ryan in the matchup.
Yeah, I mean he'd be the odds-on favorite for sure. But one of the things that I like about this top eight is this is a breeding ground for upsets. Like even right now, pitting any of these two teams against one another, it's not easy to pick the winner. I like that. I think that's kind of interesting.
If I gave you Ryan and Tilo,
mm-hmm.
or the rest of the teams in tier two, who would you take?
So it's Ryan and Tilo versus the tier field?
Two. No, tier two. We're taking tier two.
You just don't want yourself to be included in this. All right.
Well, I'm not going to be in the playoffs, though.
So. I'd take tier two. I'd want the field on this one.
Yeah. I'd take two. I was going to say, I would take tier two as well. So there you have it.
There it is. So there's the top 8 points total teams. Just to advance down the list, tier four, these are the teams with the 1400s in points. Myself, Chow, the other Garth, and Ben. This is basically your middle four teams. These are teams 9 to 12 in the overall point totals. And I don't know, looking and feeling at it, this feels like the top half of Europa pretty easily.
Yeah, I mean, two of those teams are like the biggest disappointments of the year. And what that tells me is that they're not that far off from being contenders.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could easily swap out Chow and Tilo at the end of the year. Maybe even Ben and Tilo. And I'm not 100% convinced that every team in Tier 2 is going to make the playoffs.
Fair.
So I think there's definitely room for those two guys to go up and somebody to come down towards them. I think that's what that tells me. It tells me that both you and Garth McInnes are kind of riding softer point totals to your success. And especially in Garth McInnes' case, I'm not sure how sustainable that's going to be. Sure, he's got a good record. Sure, he's got a bit of a lead there. But, man, a couple losses in a row, and it could be a completely different story.
Yeah, hard to argue, though. I wouldn't be... It wouldn't feel wrong to have any of these four teams in Europa as it stands right now. I agree one or two of these probably has a chance to sort of slide up into that 6-7A spot overall. But you know, I look at this group, I'm like, yep, that's Europa. Likewise with the next tier, which is your 1300s points getters, the Squirtle Squad, Chris and Jamil.
Yeah, I mean, man, I don't know what to make of a couple of these teams. Like, I really don't know what to make of Jamil and the Squirtle Squad.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm just so used to them being contenders that they're just contenders in my mind. But I don't know if, like, they really are. Like, especially in Jamil's case, I know he just beat me, but, like, I don't know if he's really consistent enough to be a contender. And for the Squirtle Squad, they got to get their guys back healthy to make a real serious run at anything. And they need to get pitching. Without that, they're going to be looking in Europa for a title.
I mean, hell of a draft class to be a Europa winner for, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's quickly round out tier six. These are your 1200 points getters, Flex, Ash, Nick, and Lim. Incredibly, this is not the lowest tier. However, that would be a pretty easy Vase tournament to run.
Pretty much what I would expect in this tier. I know Mike must be the last team. Yeah, I mean, pretty much what I would expect in this tier. Not really anything shocking.
Yep, fair enough. And then tier seven is Kaminsky, the only team with fewer than 1,100 points on the season. And just for comparison, that is nearly 1,000 points less than Neeson right now, 6 weeks in.
Yeah, well, Mike's team's pretty bad. So that's not surprising.
Yeah. So just in summary, I found it interesting that the Mad King is so far ahead and that Kaminsky is so far behind. But those middle five tiers, basically from the 1600s down to the 1200s, there's gaps, there's separation, but we don't yet have that clear delineation. It's early, so it makes some sense, but it sort of speaks to just how close this season has been. And this will be an interesting experiment to run in arbitrarily another 5 or 6 weeks, I think.
Yeah, once we get to the halfway point, thing to model and then also to compare the models to see how much fluctuation we have in the six.
Yeah, that almost sounds like an article if somebody was interested or wanted to do math.
I don't know. There used to be this guy. He went by like Chowgraphs, I think.
Yeah, I recall this. Yeah.
So maybe that guy. We could find that guy and he could model that stuff for us.
Wait a minute. Maybe is this the secret sauce? Is this what Chow has been missing this season? He's not doing any math-based articles, and so he's off his game?
You know what? It could be that. Definitely could be that. I'm not going to confirm or deny.
Yeah. Well, there's only one way to find out. We need to get Chow writing so that we can definitively determine whether that is the case or not.
You heard it here first.
That's right. Breaking news. That's what we do here, Jeremiah. Okay, well let's go ahead and get to the final sort of segment of our fun conversations here. Everyone's favorite, the weekly picks. We got a couple of differences this week, so we're gonna sort of walk our way through it a little bit quickly here. Let's go. Oh, my page won't reload. There we go. Awesome. We're going to start at the top of my screen, as we typically do, Jeremiah, which always means we talk about my matchup first. And right out of the gate, you and I disagree. You this week have me winning over Ben. I have Ben winning over me. I am personally convinced that Ben is sick of losing, that he is every bit the contender that we thought he has been all along, and this 2-4 record offends him.
Yeah, my ESPN page isn't loading, so I can't tell you the score currently, but I can tell you. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, yeah, Ben right now is up 8 points. It's 54-46.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not worried. I think I pick you because I just don't believe in what Ben's got going on right now. I think he's in big trouble. That Jazz injury is looking pretty rough. I don't think he's got the bats to keep up with you, which is insane to say because I thought coming into the year Ben was amazing. But it's just not there for him. You put up a good point total last week. I think if you do it again, it's your matchup to lose.
Okay. Well, we'll have to see. And moving on to the next matchup, we're both on this pick. And let me tell you, this is the Titanic matchup. This is the heavyweight battle of retirees that we've all been looking for. We got the man, Nick Penner, putting his 0-6 record on the line against Mike Kaminsky's 1-5, number 19 against number 20. We both have Mike getting a second win. Thoughts?
Who cares less? I mean, I looked at, I mean, like, I fade Nick anyway, but I looked, Mike logs in once in a while. Mike gets 6-7 starts. Nick does neither of these things.
Yeah.
Simple call.
And yet, right now, Nick is up 5 points. So we will have to see. But I assume you don't wanna swap this pick.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, then let's move on. Also, somewhat close matchup as far as the rankings are concerned. But we've got the 2-4 Size Matters going up against the 2-4 Penis. And you and I are different on these. I've got Chow taking this. You picked Lim.
Yeah, Chow's point total scared me off when I made these picks. So not the Lim's a juggernaut, but with those kind of point totals, he's beatable for sure. And I thought, let's differ a bit here. Let's take an upset.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so far that upset's not happening. He's already back 25 or so points from Chow, who is riding the sails of a couple of big mammoth home runs by Aaron Judge yesterday.
Yeah, fuck Aaron Judge. I'm looking sideways and stealing signs.
Apparently, he just had a very chirpy bench.
I don't know about you, but if my bench is chirping the umpire or the other team, I'm not looking at them.
I'm trying not to be associated with them in any way, shape, or form.
Well, just like I was looking sideways because the popcorn guy was offering popcorn in the stands. Like,
ooh.
There's no way. There's no way that that's the reason. I don't believe that. There's more nefarious things at work here.
Well, I mean, who can trust the Yankees after all? Didn't they also lose a pitcher today to sticky stuff violations? I think they did.
Yeah, the second time. He had been he had a game 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago where they were did. Like,
yeah, wash your hands.
And he comes back out and he's like, still sticky. And then Scherzer gets canned for 10 games for basically the same thing. And this idiot comes back out in this game with the same fucking issue and then gets tossed. Like, holy fuck. Nobody thought to pull this guy aside and be like, hey, dipshit, get the shit off your hand. No.
Yeah.
Apparently not.
Yeah. I don't really have much more to offer. I was just amused. That's all. Okay. All right. Are you looking to swap on Penis and jump on the Chow wagon?
No, I want to, but I won't.
All right.
Penis that brought me, you know.
There you go. You know, ride them high and ride them long. Okay, moving on to the next matchup. We've got the 2-4 Ash Moneyballers going up against the 4-2 Chris's Mummy's Good Boy. As it stands right now, we are both on Ash for this one, actually, although Ash is 30 points back already.
I refuse to bet Chris. Okay. Ash needs to get it together.
Yeah, it's hard to argue. I really like what Ash's lineup looks like this week. How a lot of his pitchers are going in a matchup wise. I'm gonna ride it a little bit longer, I think, for sure. But I mean, if Chris wins, like we might have to put some respect on his name, Jeremiah.
Yeah,
It hurts.
Yeah, it does hurt. I
don't know.
Okay, not sure I'm ready for that yet.
Fair enough. Then let's go ahead and advance to the next matchup where we have a man whose respect doesn't get applied to his name, despite it being the name of the entire pool. But Flex is going up against Aiden this week, and Aiden is putting the hammer of Thor down on him, 82-24 right now. Now, we're both on Aiden, so I'm not very surprised. A number five team should slaughter the 18th overall, but do you want to switch?
No. Flex is bad. I'll keep the pick.
Flex is bad. You heard it here first. All right. Well, next we've got a change in opinion. We are not on the same pick on this one as forecast early on. We've got a couple of differences, but I'm on Jeremiah, you're on Tilo, and I was calling the big ol' upset of the number 17 team taking down number 7, and so far it's looking good as you have a 50-point lead on Tilo at 10:30 tonight, this Tuesday.
Yeah, I did blow a couple shitty starts, but we'll have to see. I'm not sure about anything anymore. I feel like he's still going to drop a lot of points. And if he does that, it's not going to be surprising to me if he drops 250 and I get 240 again. So I'll stick with Tilo.
All right. I mean, I'll remind you, you're both in that same tier three area, so you've put up the same approximate number of points over the season. So it could be interesting if it does shake out that way.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
All right. Well, moving on, we are both on the same pick for the next one. Although right now, an upset in the making as the 10th seed Seattle Monstars have a 25-point advantage over the first overall Mad King. Headlines printing yet?
Sorry, my headphones died. So that's fun. I only heard a little bit of what you said.
Okay. Are you printing the headlines on Stads taking the victory over the Mad King as the upset is in the making?
No, I mean, I think Ryan will come back. Ryan will have an aneurysm if he doesn't come back. So just that alone will be entertainment value enough.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, let's hopefully he doesn't have to go to the hospital. Aneurysms are serious, dude. My God.
He'll live. He seems like the kind of
Okay.
guy that would live and then brag about it to the rest of us. The guy survived this near-death thing. So, yeah. He'll
All right,
live.
that'd be worth the price of admission alone. I agree. All right, are you gonna switch to the Stadelmon Stars? Are you gonna stick on the Mad King?
I'm going to stick on the Night King.
All right, then let's jump ahead to the next matchup where we've got our second overall team, the Big Beefy Baseball Boys, sitting 5-1, going up against the Husan Alliance at 2-4-0. And right now, that 14th seed has got a bit of a lead of his own right, 74.2 to 51.0. We both picked Graham. I'm still pretty confident in that pick. How about you?
I'm going to slide over to Jamil, I
Sliding to Jamil. All right. Allow me to update accordingly. It is done.
Yeah, I mean, seeing firsthand what he did last week, I think he's got a bit of a run in him. And Graham wasn't particularly impressive last week. So if they had faced off, Jamil actually would have won. So I'm going to ride that momentum into this week.
All right, the recency bias hits again. Well, let's go on to our penultimate matchup here. We've got the Midland Raccoons, our third overall seed, going up against the surprise number 6 RKR with the Bash Brothers at 4-2-0. Right now, the Raccoons are up about 30-ish points at 90 to 63. I'm on the Raccoons, you're on RKR. What do you think?
Yeah, I was hoping RKR would have a better showing to start the week, so that's a bit disappointing. But shitty Grayson Rodriguez starts will do that to you.
Yeah, it turns out that the raccoons have never been a part of Redacted, so
Yeah,
it's just how it works, I think.
you're probably right.
It makes no sense. There is no reason, but here it is. All right. Well, let's round this off with our final matchup of our week 7. It's a family affair. And two teams that, quite frankly, if their records were switched, we'd believe it. But we got the 5-1 Stubby Clap Clappers going up against the Kid and the Squirtle Squad. Here it is, the McInnes family reunion. And right now, the Squirtle Squad is up by almost 52 points right now,
Jeez.
88 to 36. You have the squad in this as your pick. I stuck with McInnes, senior.
Yeah, I guess you need to defend your pick if anything else. I just figured they were going to come out of their funk, and Garth was going to head back towards mediocrity, so.
Honestly, it's as simple as I saw Lance Lynn was probably going to have a two-start week, and I thought that was negative 10 points.
Well, that explains why you bet against Marcus Stroman, so.
Well, I mean, there are many reasons. As again, I'll point out, height doesn't measure hate, so.
Fair enough.
All right, sir. Well, those are our picks for week 7. Is there anything else that you would like to mention? Maybe another quick marketing spiel for your upcoming article?
Well, we just passed 69 minutes, so there's that.
Sweet.
Yeah, but check out the article that should be up on the site in the coming days because it's been submitted. Talking about the disappointment and worry that I have for five teams that I consider to be contenders coming into the season. I am considering writing about the points against and how kind of the randomness of that affects your record and irrespective of your points, irrespective of your points for, you know what I mean? Like, it's not just about the points you put up, it's about the points that are dropped against. A lot of control over that, but I'm curious to see how that'll play out. Less in the numbers and more in my words, because I'm not mathy about how that affects the teams, and how that kind of divides it up into tiers, like we did here with the points for. Very interested in seeing how that plays out. So
All
check that
right.
out next week.
Yeah, here I was thinking you were about to give us a full fundamental breakdown and a statistical
No.
correlation analysis of those two discrete factors, but no, we're just going to be
Well,
left hanging.
there's one other article I've been contemplating, and for the quarter mark, the halfway mark, the three quarters mark, I would release, because nobody's been doing it, I'll release power rankings, but I won't put any commentary on them. So I'll just release the rankings and then we can talk about them on the show. Whether you agree, whether you disagree, I'll kind of give my justification for the rankings of the teams and then we kind of go back and forth on that. So I'm not sure if that's going to be like a separate show or if we can just
Okay.
put aside time for that, but that could be
Yeah.
something that's done on a quarterly basis as well.
I like it. Solid idea.
Yeah,
Gotta love that.
so
Generate content, my friend.
yeah, stuff is coming in the pipeline, even if it's mainly just me.
Well, if I was sick of you, I wouldn't keep talking with you literally every Tuesday night. So, you're safe here.
To save space here. I mean, thank
Safe
God we got
space.
rid of Neeson, right?
It's so much easier, don't you think?
Yeah. Now he knows why he's off the show.
There it is. Again, people, breaking news. That's what we bring you.
Breaking hearts kind of news, maybe.
I like it. I like it. Well, sir, I think that about wraps it up for this week 7. Nice talking with you as always. And my name is Garth Newton. I Jeremiah signing off as well. And to all, have a good night and good fantasy.